Barbara says that she is a Christian, and I'm not here to question that, but in the context of that, she is espousing different parts of spirituality that do not agree with traditional and historical Christianity.
I think of Oprah as an entertainer rather than a theologian, and I think of her message as having to do with spirituality rather than religion or specific religious beliefs.
Several voices from Fox News, they were discussing whether or not Oprah Winfrey is teacher, preacher, entertainer. What exactly is she? If you watch the show, you will get a sense of a very charismatic host with an awestruck audience, mostly of women, but definitely awestruck. She lavishly gives gifts. She tells people what to read, or at least guides people in what to read. And in many cases, those books are undoubtedly spiritual, religious books. So is Oprah Winfrey a spiritual leader, and what is her spirituality? Gretchen Pasentino joins us. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, a regular guest here on the program. You can join us as well. I want to hear especially from women, because women do make up a large part of Oprah's audience. 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, the 16th of July. You can email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. I want to know what you think about Oprah Winfrey. Gretchen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much, Todd. It's always good to talk to you, even if I am the token female for the day.
Well, we figured if Fox News can have a guy on talking about it, we ought to get one of the ladies on to talk about Oprah. Is Oprah a spiritual leader, whether or not she considers herself or presents herself as one?
If by spiritual leader you mean someone that other people look up to get spiritual direction, then yes, she's not only a spiritual leader on account of those people who look to her for spiritual direction, but she says herself in her own vision for her own empire, she says, "I'm guided by the vision of what I believe this show can be. Originally, our goal was to uplift, enlighten, encourage, and entertain through the medium of television. But listen to this. Now, our mission statement for the Oprah Winfrey Show is to use television to transform people's lives, to make viewers see themselves differently, and to bring happiness and a sense of fulfillment into every home." So she certainly is claiming that she's in the process or in the business of personal transformation. That's a religious leader if I ever heard one.
How would you evaluate the spirituality that she presents to her audience on her daily television program?
Well, I don't want to argue that she's not well-meaning or she doesn't believe what she says. I have no doubt that she believes what she says and that she's not being disingenuous. Nevertheless, what she teaches is diametrically opposed to the biblical gospel that is presented and proved for us in Scripture. Scripture points us to Jesus Christ. Oprah Winfrey points us to ourselves.
Okay, that's a basic difference there. She has been a celebrity advocate for a number of books and authors who, at least if I were putting the books on the shelf in the Barnes & Noble, I'd put it under spirituality, New Age, and religion.
Well, definitely that's what her main focus is when she promotes books that don't just have to do with, like how to entertain better like Martha Stewart does or something like that. And so that kind of spiritual transformation is definitely at the forefront of what she does. You know, a year or so ago, she was promoting Rhonda Byrne's The Secret, and you and I did a good interview at that point. I think it was one of your highest-rated shows. And in that book, The Secret, the whole idea is the same kind of New Ageism that she's promoting now through Eckhart Tolle and that she's promoted in the past through Marianne Williamson's Course in Miracles, and that is that the key to all of your problems is within you, that you are the source or the solution for all of your problems, that you can achieve anything you want to achieve if you try hard enough. The problem with a program like that, because it's not really true, because we can't really achieve anything we put our minds to, instead we are basically sinful and separated from God and unable to fulfill ourselves on our own. The problem is that people try really, really hard. They really want to be like Oprah. If she can go from being the illegitimate child of poor black parents in the mid-1950s to being arguably the most important and the richest woman in the whole world, maybe there's hope for me. But I try over and over and over again. I try as hard as I can, and I still don't make it. What happens then? Is there no answer? Is there no hope for me? In Jesus, when we get to the end of ourselves, when we can do more, no more, when we say, is this the end? Is there anything more? Jesus says, I am the end. I am the more. I will fulfill everything in me, not in you.
Does Oprah Winfrey present The Secret or Eckhart Tolle's particular spirituality or others as her own spirituality?
I don't think that she would tie herself specifically to any one of those programs as her own, as the only thing she's going to be associated with. But she does say very clearly that she cannot conceive of there being only one way to God, that that's far too narrow, and she's far more open than that. So as much as she can tie herself to anything, yes, she would tie herself to The Secret, to Eckhart Tolle, to many of the other people that she's promoted over the years. But remember, for her, they're all just many different ways to achieve enlightenment or to achieve fulfillment. None of them really are the truth, though, and none of them will really gain their followers what they're seeking.
Does Oprah Winfrey, as far as you can tell, claim to be a Christian?
She does claim to be a Christian. I remember one time years ago she had Billy Graham on her program, and she actually asked him to close the program by praying on the air, and he did, a very good, very Christ-centered, gospel-centered prayer. However much you might have arguments about what is or is not appropriate to do on the air, and you know what you think about the opportunity to do something like that with non-believers, he presented a very, very clear gospel. She seemed to be deeply moved by what he said, but that's one of the problems of Oprah. She's deeply moved by what practically anybody says about practically anything. But on the contrary, the God Jesus of Billy Graham, the God who tells us about Jesus Christ, says that there are not many ways to God. It's not a feeling inside you. Instead, it is the truth that comes through Jesus Christ. He's the one who died for our sins. He's the one who brought us back from the sin and death we were committed to by our own sinfulness. And he's the one who redeems us. Unless we are willing to sacrifice everything we have and everything we are to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, we have no salvation. With Jesus, we have everything. Without him, we have nothing.
You mentioned just a moment ago her story, and I think that's what is compelling, especially for her fans, either casual fans or devoted fans. It is so compelling to them, that both male and female, that she has this personal story to tell, and she seems to be pulling it off. She seems to be living the success-oriented kind of spirituality that she presents to her audience on a regular basis. 1 minute for your thoughts on that.
Pastor Todd, no matter how much you might think you are succeeding in this world, it's over in a moment, in a breath. 70, 80 years, maybe 90 years. And all eternity stretches before you. Are you going to be eternally separated from God, longing but unable to have what you've rejected in this lifetime? Or are you going to surrender everything to him by the power of the Holy Spirit and be truly reborn? That's the answer. Not are you rich today, are you famous today, but where are you going to spend eternity? How do you respond to the call of Christ?
Can you explain to me, I'm just a guy sitting here. Okay, but can you explain to me the religious, or it appears to be almost religious fervor with which her studio audience reacts to her at times? I mean, the waving of hands, the swooning, the screaming, the applauding. I don't know if it's coordinated in the studio, but it certainly seems sincere when Oprah walks in the room.
I think it's very sincere, but I think it's misplaced. You know, I go back to the Beatles days. I was a Beatles fanatic back in my early years, and I went to see the Beatles at Dodger Stadium, and I swooned over them. But, you know, that was a long time ago, and they've really had very little effect on my life. What has had an effect on my life, though, is from the day that I surrendered to Jesus Christ, from the day that I was called to the foot of the cross, my life has changed. That's what people are looking for, whether they're men or women. As our good mutual friend Frank Beckwith says, arguments have no genitalia. Whether you're male or female, you can have all the fervor, all of the enthusiasm, and all of the admiration you want for a movie star or a celebrity or a rock band. But unless you have Jesus Christ, you have nothing.
We're talking with Gretchen Passantino, co-founder of Answers in Action, apparently former Beatles fan. Maybe she still spins their discs occasionally. We don't know, but that's her business. It's Wednesday, July the 16th. I want to know what you think about Oprah Winfrey, especially the increasingly spiritual nature of the way that she's presenting herself and her program to her audience. Our in-studio email address this Wednesday, July the 16th, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or give us a call toll-free, 1-877-623-6943. I want to hear from the Oprah fans, too. 1-877-623-MYIE, that's 6943, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Gretchen Passantino is co-founder of Answers in Action. I can just picture it, can't you? Dodger Stadium, Gretchen standing there in the audience. Paul McCartney on the stage, bobbing his head back and forth, and the swoon. I imagine Gretchen's kind of glad to have those days behind her. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. That kind of stuff. I'm Todd Wilkin, more Issues Etc. with Gretchen Passantino after this.
Defending the Faith. Teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, look for the sponsor section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
When pro-abortion activists were working to legalize abortion, their main argument was it would end illegal back-alley abortions. But the year prior to Roe v. Wade, only 39 women died from illegal abortion, a tiny fraction of what they claimed. Now women hurt or killed in so-called safe legal abortion mills is not unusual. An abortion chamber in Granite City, Illinois, is facing its second lawsuit in 6 months. It left a woman unable to bear children. Some abortion mills have been shut down because of deplorable health conditions. Pro-abortion activists have succeeded in merely relocating the entrance of the killing center from the back alley to the front of the building. Tragically, besides the baby's death, the mother sometimes pays with her health or life.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be a
then
human
how do
being.
You please
and,
God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God. Okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not religion, Oprah.
I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It was easy then to tell truth from lies, selling out from compromise.
Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey. Gretchen Passantino is our guest. You can join us as well. We're taking your phone calls right here in the studio live this Wednesday, the 16th of July, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. That's our in-studio email address. This email comes from Jen in Virginia, Gretchen. It says, Oprah is annoying. I avoid her at all costs. Of course, that really got easy when we quit watching TV about 3 years ago. I guess it is easy if you're not watching television. I have a lot of women friends who love watching her. I've never understood why. Of course, I never watched Phil Donahue or the rest either, so maybe I'm a bad one to comment. As to her theology, writes Jen, well, as Gretchen has just said, Oprah points to herself, same as everything that isn't true Christianity. If I were to watch her, I'd ignore that theology. But I just don't have enough time in my day to spend so much time weeding out the garbage. Of course, I'm also not paid to do it like all of you. So here's a woman voting a resounding yuck for Oprah. Your thoughts there, Gretchen?
Well, I'm glad that you and I and your other regular guests on your show can do work so that other people don't have to, especially with false beliefs. But, you know, I really don't have time for things that are worthless and that are contrary to the gospel either. But Christ asks me to have time for those for whom he died. And there are so many millions of people who follow false gospels because they don't know the true gospel. Unless we know enough about the false gospel to be able to talk intelligently and persuasively with our non-believing friends, we're not going to have much of an opportunity to relate to them. They're not going to give us much time to tell them the true gospel. Nobody has to be an expert on Oprah Winfrey or watch her program every day. But I think each of us should have enough compassion for the non-believers in our lives to know enough about what's luring them away from the true gospel to be able to talk to them persuasively and lovingly.
Let's deal with the claim that you mentioned early on. We heard it in that montage coming out of the break where Oprah has said on several occasions that she cannot conceive of there being only one way of salvation or only one way to God. And when people have presented her with the claim that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, she simply says, well, it just can't be that way. There can't be only one way. That sounds, to our ears today, very broad-minded, very open-minded, very reasonable and very tolerant. How would you respond to that?
Well, being broad-minded does not necessarily mean that we accept no truths or have no absolutes. I'm very broad-minded that all people who are suffering from disease should have access to good medical care and good antibiotics. But my broad-mindedness does not extend to administering penicillin to somebody who has a viral infection. Antibiotics don't work on viral infections. Nor would I be tolerant enough to give codeine to someone who's allergic to it and is going to go into anaphylactic shock and die from having it administered to them. I'm not narrow-minded when I say that a polio vaccine is necessary to prevent polio from developing. That just happens to be the scientific fact. We're able to accept absolutes in other areas of life, but we tend to reject them in areas of life that are not as easy for us to see. But in spiritual things, too, there are true things and false things. There are things that work and things that don't work, things that come from God and things that don't come from God. It is absolutely the case that Jesus' resurrection from the dead proved that he was the Messiah, the one sent from God to reconcile the world to himself. He is the only path of redemption. Now, some people say, yeah, but what about nice people? What about ignorant people? What about sincere people who believe something else? As Christians, we can never back down from the fact that God has established that his way is the only way, that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the only redemption story that is true. A whole other conversation is, how much do you need to understand that? What language do you need to speak to pronounce the name of Jesus? All of those are other issues, and we are not denying that sincere, nice, good, well-meaning, ignorant people can't be saved by Jesus Christ. But what we are saying is God has provided one antibiotic, one antidote to the poison of sin, and that is Jesus Christ.
Carrie in Alexandria, Minnesota writes, I think Oprah is a false prophet, that she is leading many people away from the truth. Because of all the good, wonderful things she does, people think that she can do no wrong. They listen to everything she says and often don't question or think of what she's really saying. Carrie says, I saw a video where she clearly said that Jesus was not the only way. That is definitely saying she's not a Christian. People worship her. Your thoughts there, Gretchen?
Well, you know, I don't know that Oprah Winfrey claims to be a prophet in that she says that she's speaking for God, but she does say that she's providing spiritual answers to people who are spiritually searching, and those are false answers. They're not going to get anybody eternal life. In that sense, I would absolutely agree with Carrie. I think underlying that is another problem that I think that's very serious, and that is there was a time when we received most of our spiritual direction from our parents, from our pastor, from our local congregation, from the culture around us that was primarily a Judeo-Christian culture based on the principles of Scripture, where the words of the gospel were readily available, and we heard them and experienced them every Sunday morning in church. Today, we are far more apt to hear spiritual values from celebrities than from pastors or parents or congregations. I think each one of us as a Christian should determine to yield ourselves more and more to the Holy Spirit so that we can be the voice that is crying out in the wilderness with the truth of the gospel to those who wouldn't hear it otherwise.
I want to come back to a point you made there in just a moment, but another thing that occurred to me with regard to Oprah Winfrey's television program is that it, from time to time, does serve as kind of the confessional for the rich, the powerful, the political, the occupiers of high office, whatever it may be. But it's the confessional. It's the place where people go to unburden themselves of a guilty conscience or perhaps to confess to some great wrong or to try and seek redemption in some way. I'm wondering whether or not that is intentional on her part. It's hard to say, although it makes compelling television, no doubt about it.
I don't know if it's intentional, and I don't know whether she's even addressed that on any of her in any of her interviews. But I would say that when she's able to get someone who is very famous, almost notorious, you might say, to come on her program and to show that they have feet of clay, that they're in some ways just like the rest of us, that may be meant to enable us to feel better about our failures and to feel like maybe all is not lost and there's a way forward for us. But it has a very dangerous propensity for teaching people that sin is okay, that sin doesn't really matter, that if so-and-so, this famous person, can do it and expect forgiveness from the public and go on and keep a good, a good career going, then why do I need to get on my knees before God and ask His forgiveness? But what we find is that God's standard is 100%. He wants us to follow Him without any error. We are completely incapable of that on our own. Only by throwing ourselves on the mercy of God can we be redeemed and truly serve Him. It's not that we need to be good enough or as good as so-and-so who's very famous. It's that we need to be broken before Christ. If your conscience is seared, if you become used to good enough, then you're not going to be open to the Holy Spirit telling you to surrender everything to Him.
Gretchen, one of the emailers mentioned it. I think it does bear mentioning as well, and that is, without a doubt, we cannot judge hearts, but we can look at actions. Oprah Winfrey is an amazing philanthropist. She is a notoriously generous person and quite free with the wealth that she's amassed for herself. Talk about that and the tension it may create for those who watch her show.
I'm not sure how much out of the wealth that she has. She's said to be one of the richest people in the world. I'm not sure how much she gives to charity. But, you know, that's not how we're judged before God. We're judged before God on the basis of our relationship to Jesus Christ. if we have a saving relationship with him made possible by what God has done for us and not by anything we've done for God or for anyone else, then we're justified before God. But if we don't, then we're not, even if we give everything away. I'm reminded of the story that Jesus told in the New Testament about the Pharisee who was very rich and gave what seemed like quite a bit of money. And then the widow who gave her one mite, she gave everything she had. And that evidenced the broken heart that she had before God. It was that broken heart that God repaired and redeemed in Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do with how little or how much she gave or how little or how much the rich person did. It's not wealth or our ability to give it away that saves us. It's the wealth of Christ that he gives us freely.
Gretchen Passantino, co-founder of Answers in Action, is our guest. We're talking about the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey. Email us during this break. Talk back at issuesetc.org or give us a call. 877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Adolescents need their parents' guidance in making wise decisions, yet pro-abortion advocates insist that parents do not have the right to be involved in their minor daughter's decision to have an abortion. Many states do not have parental guidance or consent laws, but teens who face crisis pregnancies need their parents' help and understanding more so than at any other time. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Ten minutes left for your phone calls or your email on the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Gretchen Passantino is our guest. We've talked a lot about Oprah and her guests and her show. Let's talk about the culture in which her notoriety, her fame, and her popularity thrives. The culture that seems, as you said before, more likely to receive its spiritual insights from celebrities, from the rich and famous, a relativist culture, a feel-good culture.
Well, we have removed the church as the center of our community and the center of our family life. There was a time in this country when most people, almost everybody, on Sunday morning was in church. Maybe if you were a Sabbatarian Christian, you might be in church on a Saturday. But almost everybody went to church. Almost everybody not only had Bibles, but read Bibles and memorized Bible verses. As our culture became more obsessed with personal fulfillment and personal indulgence. We turned away from that constant reminder of our need for a Savior and the purity of the gospel. Especially for those of us who are parents and who are grandparents, we are probably the only source that our children and grandchildren will have for their introduction to and their reminding of the truth of the gospel. It's a shame that our culture receives more from celebrities than it does from true spiritual leaders, that we are directed more by our peers, our friends, and our government than we are by our parents and our family. Christians can make a difference in our communities, but not if we stay inside our closed doors and refuse to associate with and share the gospel with those non-believers who are around us.
See, you made that point earlier in response to an email, and I want to revisit it. I think it's a valuable one, and that is this in-the-world-but-not-of-the-world aspect of the Christian's life, not just the fact that I have to drive through the world to get to work on, or I have to go to an office building into some secular profession to make my living. Not that, but this notion of being in the world as the church for the sake of the world, for the sake of a fallen world. Talk about that, Gretchen.
Well, you know, it's not that hard to be in the world but not of the world. It's not that hard when you've got the truth of the gospel with you. You know, it's very easy to win when you've got a stacked deck, and the gospel is the most stacked deck I've ever seen in my life. Every single card is marked with one thing, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We should be proud, happy, excited, and joyful to bring that good news to other people. You know, what you're doing with Issues, et cetera, going trans a Lutheran association and taking the traditional Lutheran faith from whatever association it is and bringing it out into the world with the core of the gospel is a very good example of that. Your Issues, et cetera, 300 pledge. I know I talked to you last time you interviewed me, and I made a dare that if there was another congregation, an LCMS congregation, that would like to join with our little conservative Lutheran Association congregation becoming 300 congregations, we would do that. And thankfully, Reverend Randy Atbury from Hope Lutheran Church in St. Louis responded to that dare. And both of our congregations are joining together to support your program. You know, $1,000 in a year is less than $84 a month. We've got a real small mission church that we're just building here in Costa Mesa. We have fewer than 100 members. $84 a month is not too hard for us to do. So we've made that commitment. So has Reverend Asbury and Hope Lutheran Church in St. Louis. There are so many other congregations and individuals listening to this program right now, whether it's live or at some other time from all the other options, who can help to support that. I mean, how good is that? You don't even have to go out of your house yourself. You can just pay Todd and Jeff to go out of their house and do it for you. We have to take the gospel where it's most needed, and that's to the non-believers. We've got an overwhelming abundance of gospel joy in the midst of faith with our churches and our programs. How can we be stingy and not share that with those who are not believers?
Should it surprise us at all that someone who has at times been called the nation's pastor or a spiritual leader or maybe just an entertainer, Oprah Winfrey, if she listens to the voices of the culture and to the voices of those alternate false spiritualities out there, that she would sadly stray from the Christian faith she was apparently raised in and go so far as to say that Jesus can't be the only way?
I don't even think she has to listen to the culture around her. I think when we listen to our own black, sin-crusted hearts, we tend to follow the same thing. I would rather believe that I can fulfill myself on my own. I would rather believe that being an okay person is good enough. I would rather believe that nobody had to die in my place to redeem me to God. I would rather to believe that I don't need redemption, that in fact I can worship myself. But it's not the truth, and it's not the way of eternal life. I have no animosity toward Oprah Winfrey. I think my heart is like her heart. Both of us need Jesus as our Savior.
Gretchen, when people pick up the books that are recommended by the Oprah Book Club, and they say, look, this is obviously a book worth reading because Oprah recommends it, give some words of caution. Because there are people who say, look, I like her. I think she's a good entertainer, and I can weed through the false spirituality there. But one of the ways that she does the most of her propagating of these things is through the book she promotes. What should they be aware of?
Well, the first thing is, you don't go to an auto mechanic to find out about heart surgery, and you don't go to an entertainer to find out about matters of the spiritual heart. It is to the Bible, to the Word of God, to the words of Scripture, the good news of the gospel that you go to for eternal life, not to a celebrity and an entertainer. Secondly, anytime someone sells you yourself, you know you're not getting a good deal. We don't have it in ourselves to be saved, to be redeemed, to be fulfilled. We need to reach out of ourselves. And only by the grace of the Holy Spirit can we do that and reach for the cross. Salvation doesn't come from looking within, as Oprah Winfrey encourages us. It comes from looking to the cross.
Then finally, in as simple terms as possible, as you have so often in this conversation, compare and contrast the false comfort that is offered by the kind of spirituality in which Oprah Winfrey finds herself with the true comfort that is found in historic biblical Christianity.
Oprah Winfrey and the spiritual leaders that she promotes would have you believe that all of the answers are found within you. Yet when you look in your own heart, you see that you don't have the answers, you don't have the power, you don't have the goodness or the holiness. Don't look within yourself, look to the cross. There you will see the perfection, the fulfillment, the holiness, the goodness, and most of all, the mercy and grace by which you can be saved. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to do anything to get God to notice you or pay attention to you or like you enough. He's already done it for you. Just turn to Him, and you'll receive salvation, not from yourself, not from Oprah Winfrey, not from Tolle or Williamson or anybody else, but from Jesus Christ.
Gretchen, we have just a minute here before we got to go. I'm wondering, these things come in cycles. Oprah has sustained a very successful career on television. Sooner or later, she will decide that it's time to stop doing this long-running television program. And some might say, well, that'll be that. But it seems to me there'll be someone else ready to take her place to hawk the same kind of me-centered spirituality.
You know, it was Solomon 3,500 or 3,000 years ago who said that there's nothing new under the sun. Oprah Winfrey's not new. When she's gone, there'll be somebody else. But it's the same false story, that same false story that says salvation is any place but at the foot of the cross. And yet, the one story that is true, the only true story, all good stories derived from the one true story, is that God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you, that whoever believes in Him should not die but have everlasting life.
Gretchen Pasentino is co-founder of Answers in Action. You can find a link to Answers in Action on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. You'll find Answers in Action right there. Gretchen, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. God bless you. And I hope a lot of your listeners are going to take up my challenge and support Issues, etc. What a great way to bring the gospel to non-believers.
Gretchen, thank you so much. Tomorrow on the program, the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society, also known as Jehovah's Witnesses, with Christian apologist Rob Bowman. That'll be the conversation tomorrow in part. There's a term. You ought to learn this one. It's just two little words in Latin, but I recommend you learn it because if you're like me, these simple phrases sometimes say it all. The two little Latin words are extra nos. You know the first one. It means outside of. And the second one, nos, means us. Extra nos, outside of us. Where is the only true hope in this world, outside of us, outside of you, outside of me? Look inward and you will find only sin, death, and hopelessness, or a false hope. Look outside yourself to the cross of Jesus Christ. There is hope. There is salvation. It's all outside of you, accomplished, done for you by Jesus. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.